So I want you to find in your Bibles the fifth chapter of Ephesians. A lot of good counsel and practical challenges for living in that book. One of the things that Paul does here is he helps us understand, and we've talked about the importance of the baptism and the ability and the importance of tongues and the gifts of the Spirit and things that hinder being a Holy Ghost person. And also last week we talked about how God wants us to minister or share the baptism with other people. Can I have an amen? Amen. Say this with me. I have an Ananias anointing on my life. In other words, whatever we have, we can share with other people. But he helps us understand not just being filled, but actually how does somebody actually stay filled? I found out through the years as a pastor, not just as a congregation or as individuals I minister to, but in our own lives, it's not about God somehow not willing for us to be filled or stay filled or maximize in terms of the presence of God, His Holy Spirit, but we tend to leak after a while. And for lack of a better way to explain that, there's nothing in Scripture that says that this one glorious day you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, so that's all you're ever going to need. You're never going to need any more. You're satisfied. You have reached the top. And the reality is when charismatics and Pentecostals think that way, they basically stop growing. They stop propelling forward. God never designed for you and for me to have a one-and-done theology when it came to the Spirit of God. So let's start by just confessing this. There's one baptism in the Holy Ghost and multiple lifelong refillings. The way it is over time, you and I can leak. And what I found out is oftentimes that can be even imperceptible to other people. And sometimes we can even be blind to that reality ourselves. So we're going to learn how to make sure that we get filled, but then stay filled with the Holy Ghost. And what's interesting in this scripture, and we'll start over in chapter 5, verse 15, he says, be very careful then how you live. He's trying to warn us. He's trying to exhort us. Not as unwise, but as wise. So this whole deal of what you do with the Spirit of God is also a wisdom issue. Making the most of every opportunity. It's a time issue. We need to redeem the time. We can have an amen. We need to know the times and the seasons that we're living in. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Would anybody agree that we're living in interesting times, evil times? So he sets this teaching up about being filled and constantly being refilled with the notion that we're in the end times. It's a matter of wisdom. And because there's great evil that's prevalent. Therefore, do not be foolish. An exhortation not to be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, there are a lot of people that debate this entire concept of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-filled life, but it's plain as day. It is God's will. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be what? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of the reverence for Christ. I just want to say again emphatically, it's the Lord's will for us to be filled and stay filled with the Holy Spirit. And whose responsibility is that? I'm telling you, it's not the Pope's. It's not the international, superintendent of the Assemblies of God. It's not Benny Hinn's responsibility for you. Are you here today? It's not your pastor's responsibility. It's not your board member's responsibility. It's not your Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It's not your spouse's responsibility. If you're leaking, it's your responsibility to plug the holes. Are you here today? It's God's will for you to be filled, but then stay filled. I've been in this long enough to see a lot of people get born again, get spirit-filled, enjoy the walk of God, and over time they're not paying attention to the level of the Holy Ghost in their lives, and they begin to manifest things they shouldn't be manifesting. They begin to go down paths they shouldn't be going down. So the first thing I want to do today is encourage you with some simple principles, and the first of which is this: you need to monitor your Holy Ghost level. You do. It does us no good for somebody else to try to discern where we're at, because they wouldn't be able to do it in an honest fashion anyway. The question is, how filled are you currently? Not 1945, 82, 1990, or even a few weeks ago when many of you received the Holy Ghost. How filled are you? Well, Pastor, how can I tell how filled I am? Well, first of all, you can tell by the presence or absence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. If you're suddenly unkind to people, belligerent, critical, biting, there's something wrong with your level of the Holy Ghost. See, a lot of people think, well, if I get the Holy Ghost, then I'll have the fruit. No, it's not really a matter of one or the other. He wants you to be proficient and flowing in the fruit. But when your Holy Ghost level goes down, you're not the kind person and patient person you're supposed to be. So you can tell when the fruit begins to diminish, you got a problem. And what you should say to yourself is, why did I snap at that person that way? Why did I respond that way? Why did I react that way? What's wrong with me? I'll tell you, fundamentally what's wrong is you need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost. Because when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you are sweet. Instead of sour or spicy. Moving on. You can tell by your love walk. Are you predisposed to walk in love and walk in forgiveness and walk, you know, covering people with the blood and with mercy? Or are you the opposite? It's a funny thing is, I may agree that all of us have received great mercy from God. And this is the great mystery to me, how anyone who can receive the great mercy of God can be unmerciful towards their brothers and sisters. I'll never understand that. Maybe you can explain it to me as a pastor. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. But the bottom line is, when you suddenly have a problem in your love walk, I mean, that's just like an alarm. That's just an arrow sign telling you that you're not as filled as you think you are. And I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing more ugly and belligerent than a spirit-filled Christian who's let the Holy Ghost leak out. They are capable of anything. Look at somebody and smile and say, and so are you, if you let the Holy Ghost diminish in your life. You can tell. You're monitoring your Holy Ghost level. You can tell by the level of mercy that you're operating in. When you're unmerciful, you're low in spirit. It's just that simple. You can tell by your attitude. If your attitude stinks, you need a fresh infusion of the Holy Ghost. You can tell by your enthusiasm level, your fire and your passion for God and the things of God. And when you're just there, you're just going through the motions, you need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost. That's good. Amen. And you know, there's such a variety of people and personalities. No one's going to say, I perceive that thou durst not have fire anymore. It's just not going to happen. You're going to have to look in the mirror and say, you know what? You used to be enthusiastic. You used to be on fire. You used to have passion. And what happened? I'll tell you what happened is something leaked out. You know, life and its pressure and all the things pushing on you and responsibilities, it has a way of subjecting us to the tendency to let things leak. And that's why Paul says it's not supposed to be a one-time shot. You can tell by your appetite. You're no longer hungry for the presence of God, for prayer. You're not hungry for the Word of God. You're no longer doing self-feeding. Your involvement in service, your involvement in service will become less and less and less. What you got is a Holy Ghost problem. And you can find everything and every reason and, you know, under the sun and blame something. And watch this. If you're part of the blame culture, you're not part of the Holy Ghost culture.
That's true.
You're living in a day where everything is somebody else's fault. But if you're having a problem, don't look to blame somebody. Look to someone in the mirror and realize that you are being diminished in the Holy Ghost. Say, it can't be that simple. I'm here to tell you that it is that simple. When the power of the Holy Ghost is operating in your life, you are your best version of yourself. When you are leaking the Holy Ghost, you become the worst version of yourself. You can tell when you don't seem to have the power operating in your life. The gifts aren't operating. You're not seeing things happen. You can tell by the results in your life, the fruit that remains. There's something happening through your influence in this life. But you're no longer seeing the power. You're no longer seeing the results. You can tell by your joy level, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many believe that spirit-filled Christians ought to have some joy? That doesn't mean happy. It means calm delight from the inside based on a right relationship with God and has nothing to do with what you're going through. When the Holy Spirit is bubbling up out of you, it's going to bubble up with joy. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But if you're miserable every day, you can think, well, it's because of this, because of that, it's because of finances, because of my body troubles or my relationship troubles or whatever. No, it's because you need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost. As long as you keep externalizing this, you'll never flow consistently in the peace and the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Somebody tell me, say, joy.
Joy.
The joy of the Lord,
is
my strength. You can tell when conviction begins to disappear from your life. Things that you were convicted about even a short time ago or years ago, all of a sudden, it's perfectly fine. See, nobody can tell you what you're being convicted of. A fresh dose of the Holy Ghost will make sure, not that you're being condemned, but that you're being corralled as one of His own to live in victory. You can tell if your level of sensitivity of heart is diminishing. You used to pick up on the urgings of the Holy Ghost. You used to pick up on the promptings of the Holy Ghost. You used to sense things and you were able to operate in the Holy Ghost, but you become very darkened in terms of that sensitivity level, and it's because you need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost. All the things we've talked about depend on us not one time receiving the Holy Ghost 40 years ago, but a fresh relationship with God. Come on, shout it out. Say, thank God.
Thank God.
Say, thank God,
for
the Holy Ghost. You can tell by the presence or absence of fear in your life. You've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And when fear tries to come back in again, it's because there's something missing there. That bulwark against it is not there. Said, I don't have that spirit. Boy, well, you have the Holy Ghost overflowing. There's no room in there for fear. You can tell by your boldness level, where you used to just boldly reach out to speak and to minister. Now you're intimidated. That's a sign that a fresh filling is needed in your life. Say it, a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost. You can tell by your confidence in the things of God, the integrity of God's word, and the integrity that God will promise something and He will come through. Your mind is filled with doubt and fear and unbelief, and you never know what God's going to do. And you walked across that bridge a long time ago. You used to believe God's word is true, and that settles it. I'm not moved by what I see. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what did God say.
That's right.
When you begin to leak, you lose that confidence in His integrity of His word. And once you open up that door to violate the integrity of God's word, you're capable of believing anything that contradicts that word. Look at somebody and smile and say, you got to monitor the Holy Ghost level in your own life. You can tell by whether you're walking around with a spirit of faith and victory or a spirit of defeat and unbelief. If you're walking around with that, you know what you need. No, what I need is to sit down with a therapist for 6 months. I'm going to tell you this as straight as I can. The best therapist in the universe is the Holy Ghost. The best high you'll ever have is the Holy Ghost. The best teacher you'll ever have is the Holy Ghost. what you're looking to man to do, the Holy Ghost could do and maintain in your life if you would let him do it. We always want to find something else, some other reason that we are the way we are. I'm telling you, before you got saved, before you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, there was a hole there in the size of God, and it cannot be filled by anything else. And when you got born again, there was joy and victory and peace. When you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you overflowed with joy, with peace, and with victory. Why? Because you filled that void with God. And now you're trying to fill it with everything else. And you're leaking. And we need to be reminded, it's not how you start in terms of being a Pentecostal charismatic. It's finishing that way. It's maintaining what God started in your life. That's how important this is. And again, it's a teaching thing. I realize that. You know, I'm pastor teacher is what I'm assigned to do. And if congregations aren't taught about the baptism and aren't taught about how to maintain that flow and that infilling, then it's impossible for that to happen. I said this a couple of weeks ago, but my mom asked me a $100 million question the other day after church. She goes, how come, you know, there's so many people and so many organizations and so many people, even in the, you know, the spirit-filled realm, that don't operate in these things? And I told them, it went dark for hundreds of years because it wasn't being preached. You can't get what is not preached. It could be real, it could be available, it could be God's will, but if it's not preached, faith won't come. Amen, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what, church? By the word of God. It's got to be taught. Apparently, God thinks that this church needs to be taught. And ready. And you monitor in your own Holy Ghost level, and you wake up and something's wrong, it's time for you to go off and begin to get yourself refilled. No, I got to call the evangelist. I got to call the pastor. Maybe they can get me refilled. Listen, you have a direct line with God. You can get refilled wherever you are, however you are, whatever is going on. And you need to start doing that. Don't wait for Sunday. If you're honoring on Thursday, don't wait till Sunday. Do us all the favor and get refilled. We'll certainly pray for you and lay hands on you, but I mean, think about that. You can only come and receive something once a week. He abides with you, the Bible says, forever. But he's no bully, amen? And he will never operate where he's not welcome. And if you'd rather go to every other source for your peace and for your joy, for your victory, he'll let you do it, but it doesn't have to be that way. Smile at somebody again and tell them, monitor your Holy Ghost level. Number two, control access to the door of your heart. Control access to the door of your heart. What I mean is we're often tempted to give spiritual access to other spirits, and then we wonder how that happened. Proverbs 4. We're going to go from about verse 18 to 23 or so. But my son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Look at somebody and say, keep your heart. For from it flow the springs or the issues of the forces of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Can I have an amen? Amen. Guard your heart. What? Guard your heart, because if you fill your heart with the wrong things, you are going to push out and leak out the Holy Ghost. And again, it's not my job to guard your heart. No. And it's not right for us to go around trying to guard everybody else's hearts and judge everybody else's hearts. The word is the word. Amen. Sin does as sin does. But your job is to maintain, monitor your Holy Ghost level, and then begin to control the access to your heart. Because this is how spiritual influences come into your life. How? I control access to my heart, number one, by controlling what my ears hear. That's one of the gates of the spirit realm and how it enters into your life. And it was Jimi Hendrix and a plethora of other musicians that said this and believed this and operated this way, that music is spiritual.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I said music is spiritual. You'll find yourself in right mind listening to the wrong piece of music. Next thing you know, rebellion starts coming up out of you. Amen. Discontent comes out of you. Amen. Lewdness comes out of you. Where'd that come from? It's spiritual. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. You say, well, you're just going to ban everything that's not necessarily Christian. Listen to me carefully and let me have your eyes. There's a lot of Christian music out there I wouldn't let my dog listen to. It's unscriptural. It paints God as the problem. It's not building my faith. It's tearing my faith down. Your standard has to be whether, you know, bigger than and larger than whether a so-called Christian sang it. I've noticed in the past 10, 15 years, there have been some substantive, you know, songs written by people who didn't claim to be Christian bands who had more insight than a lot of Christians are having. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. So you're going to have to be the one to measure that. And certainly shut your ears down to destructive talk and things that put you in a position to, you know, to take on whatever somebody else's offense is or bitterness or bitter. Because I'm telling you, once you invite it in, it is an aggressive, cancerous, heinous root, that bitter root. Every person that ever got that root got it through the ears. Look at somebody and tell them it was an ear infection. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't have time for that anymore. I want to hear what God is doing. I want to hear about His victory and His plan. Amen? I want to hear about His mission and His goal. I want to hear about His blood and what it does for us all. Amen? Number two, I control access to my heart by controlling what my eyes see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. You don't realize this, but there's things that we are seeing and observing in our culture. It's all by demonic design to get you to give them access to your heart. And again, there's no way to just say, here's the way it is, and this is bad, this is good. You have to go up a level and say, I'm going to discern whether something is good or bad based on what the Word is saying and what the Holy Ghost is saying to me. But if you just sit there mindlessly letting this stuff come in and not evaluating that, you wonder why you're leaking. Your heart can be full of things of God, but listen, you cannot operate, you know, with competing spirits and be the best version of yourself. And we're not talking about possession, we're talking about influence. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
You know, because pastors have to parse everything. You know, pastor said Sunday, he said, you know, through my eyes and my ears, I get possessed by the devil. You lie like a dog. No, you're allowing influences that it's all causing you to be compromised in terms of your vitality.
Yeah.
You're a born-again person. You're not going to be demon-infested, but you can be demonized and severely demon-influenced. Yeah. Ask me how I know. I control access to my heart by controlling what my eyes see. It's no surprise that Job, as old as that book is, said, I've made a covenant with my eye not to look lustfully after a girl. And it's not just the men that have a problem with that. Well, it can't be all that big of a deal, you know, it's kind of harmless. No, it's not. It can absolutely cause a drain in the level of Holy Ghost in your heart and absolutely put you in a bad position. Number three, I control access to my heart by controlling what my mouth says. Oh, no, it can't be that. Amen. You ever take a balloon, have a balloon fight filled with water, and then poke it? First a little stream, then eventually, amen, it's a downpour. You're the one that's popping your own balloon with your mouth. You are diminishing or you are accelerating the presence of God and the good things of the Spirit of God by how you use your mouth. Agreeing with God, disagreeing with God. Amen? Talking in edifying ways or talking in destructive ways. You know, a lot of folks say they just want to have their own counsel. They want to have their own way. They want to have their own say. I'd rather have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I said, I'd rather have the Holy Ghost. So what you do is you learn to put a muzzle over your own mouth. We have a little poodle, 7 pounds, and that dog has to lick everything. So if you know of a doggy psychologist, I'll be glad to take the number. Licks, licks, licks. So I don't know if I'm going to put a shock collar on the dog or get it a muzzle. We'll see. Sometimes a muzzle's the best thing for you. You remember what your mama used to say? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Look, if you don't value the Spirit for life, then this doesn't mean anything to you. But if you value it, you've got to control what accesses your heart by what you are hearing, what you are seeing, and what you are saying. Listen to me, church. These are all completely controllable. You don't have to hear anything you don't want to hear. You don't have to see anything you don't want to see. And you don't have to say anything you don't want to say. We are willing participants in our own draining. I mean, the price that was paid for this, he had to go to the cross. He had to die. He had to be raised from the dead. He had to ascend on high just so that he could pour out and minister the Holy Ghost to us. The high price that was paid for us to just flippantly drain our own lives of his presence.
Good word.
I control access to my heart by controlling where my feet go. You say, what does that mean? You know, some of you, it's high time for you to cut some ties to people who are headed down the wrong path. They're not going where you're going. They're not doing what you're doing. They're not on the same page with you. And by virtue of proximity, you can be affected by other spiritual influences. Obviously, you don't need to be going to certain kinds of joints and certain kinds of physical locations. Obviously, a Christian, unless you're empowered and in mission to do so, that's not the case for most people. But who are you walking with? Who are you hanging around? Who are you spending quality time with? Who actually is not just physically with you in their feet, but their mouths are open, their eyes are seeing things and trying to get you to see the same things and get you to agree with them and whatever it is their latest error is. No, you and I need to be careful. If your feet won't go near the evil, then you won't be participating in the evil. Years ago, Billy Graham adopted this principle. And then Mike Pence, who was our vice president, adopted this principle, was criticized for this, but they refused to ride in an automobile alone with a member of the opposite sex. They refused to be alone. You say, why do they do that? Why would you make fun of somebody's conviction? Isn't it wild how you can make fun of a Christian's convictions?
That's true.
And it doesn't matter? That's just plain wisdom. You say, is there a scripture for that? Yes. Abstain from even the appearance of evil. If Mike Pence isn't in the car or room with a woman who's not his wife, then nothing's going to happen. Today, people just get as close as they possibly can and then wonder when they slip across that line how that happened. It happened because you weren't paying attention to the garden of your own heart, that where you take your feet, that's going to introduce you to spiritual forces and influences that God never wanted you to be a part of. And if you don't understand this, I'll tell it to you. There's nothing more devastating and more betraying than for somebody to step out on their spouse And it didn't start with the physical part. It started with soul ties and communication and conversations in places that were reserved for intimacy you shouldn't have been in. And now the break room's been replaced by the chat room. And guys, you have no business having a lady as a good friend. And ladies, you have no business having a what? A guy as a good friend. They're acquaintances. You put that ring on and you gave your life, amen, to that person, and you're in covenant with that person. You have intimate conversations reserved for just you two. Everybody else is a sister or an acquaintance. Well, that's just so old-fashioned. Go ahead, call me old, see if I care. I mean, I guess I'm at that age. You know, when Viagra ads and Depends ads show up on your Facebook feed, you must be getting older. I don't care. Just because something sounds old to you doesn't mean it's not true. Come on, say it. Abstain from every appearance of evil. What you're doing with your eyes and your ears and your mouth and your feet, that's how you get drained. You expose yourself to the wrong thing. These things are all access points that cause spiritual leaks. Paul specifically says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in debauchery, a lot of folks focus on the alcohol or the wine. That's one dimension of that. But the focus is on unbridled lust and lewdness is what that word means. It means sensuality. Not able to put on the brakes in their behavior. In the New Testament, it's used to describe behaviors that are contrary to the disciplined and righteous life expected of believers. So if I live that way, I'm going to have that kind of fruit. But if I live filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, I'm going to have a different kind of fruit. I'm going to have victory in my life. And righteousness and holiness going to have an amen. And nobody in this room has arrived, but at least you should be striving to. You should at least have your ticket punched to destination holiness. Some of y'all need to get on a train. You're still sitting there, amen, at the depot. Amen. All I can tell you is there's some things about this life that require us, this spirit-filled life, that require us to be very diligent and very self-reflective, and this is one of them. You monitor your level yourself based on those parameters we gave you, and then you make sure that you are guarding your own heart. Because at the end of the day, nobody's going to do it. I don't care, ladies, how much you're pulling for your wife, your husband, to guard his heart. No, we don't do that here. Come on, say it with me. Two genders. Male, female. Marriage. Male, female. Okay, the anatomy lesson is over for today. Amen. What was I teaching you? You have to understand that these are conscious decisions that you make. It's something you have to do consistently in your life. No one's going to do it for you. I mean, I had to learn this as a pastor when I was new in the ministry. I thought I could fix anybody. I thought I could turn anybody into a leader. Yeah, you can tell how that worked out. Bill Barger back there, everybody say, God bless you, Bill. He was in one of my very first men's intensive and discipleship groups that I did. And there were about 8 men in that group. And out of that group, I remember that the only 2 that bore fruit in their lives, Bill and Mr. Carl House. Everybody say, God bless Brother Carl. He's with Jesus. Hallelujah. And boy, did he just, I'm telling you, he just served God and did, you know, his absolute best to be a servant of God until he left this earth. But every other person in that group, see, if I could, I would have guarded their hearts for them. But one of them had been off drugs for months and years, you know, at that point in time. In fact, some of y'all remember me talking about Hilton Sutton. He's with Jesus too. But several years ago over the dome here, Hilton Sutton did a meeting for us on the Holy Spirit and did some teachings on end times as well. And I asked this man that was in my focus group there to tend to his needs. I said, I believe that you could be a blessing to him. You know, you make sure he gets to the meetings. You make sure that he's taken care of. He wants a bottle of water, whatever he wants, just bless him. He travels all the time. Just bless him. And, you know, Hilton came and he went. And then sometime later, he and I were talking. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I've been all over the world preaching the gospel. He said, I've been in churches, 50, 60,000, and churches that had 50. He said, I've been to every great church you can think of. I've never been better attended than I was by that young man in his entire ministry. In fact, on his desk, there were two pictures on his credenza in Humble, Texas. One was a picture with him and George Bush and him and the young man that served him in Murray, Kentucky. But despite everything, he went right back into that culture. And last time I saw him, I mean, he looked like he'd been hit by a dump truck. Another one walked out on a spouse. Amen. Another one went back into drugs. What am I saying? That six out of the eight went bankrupt spiritually. If you make it, it's because of the grace of God and your decision. If you don't make it, amen, it's because you did not take advantage of the grace of God and it was your decision. But you have to learn that you can't. I was teaching a Bible college class years ago, and I remember it birthed a series, and the series was called Eagles, Turkeys, and Roadkill. How many of you think it's probably best to be an eagle? Raise your hand if you think that's... We can skip to the chase here. Let's be an eagle. And, you know, God sometimes deals with me in the most unique ways. I was driving to town, and a whole pack of guinea birds, y'all know what I'm talking about? Just passed over the road over there by the bridge going into town. And I thought, that's not good. Somebody's going to get hit. And sure enough, on my way back from town to the church, there was one bird in the middle of the road. And so then I had to go back into town again about something. And when I went back into town, it had been hit flat. When I came back to the church, there was one feather sticking up like that. Everybody say roadkill. And I was convinced, even if you were roadkill, I could breathe life into you and make a leader out of you. Sometimes they're just roadkill. How are you going to take the grace and the mercy of God and become what he's called you to be? It's going to be a decision to monitor the level of the Holy Ghost in your own life and do what? Guard your own heart. For out of it flow the issues of life. Look at somebody and tell them, I love you, but I can't guard your heart. I can't monitor your level of the Holy Ghost. Now, you may be the victim of them. Amen. They're poor level. But you can't do the monitoring and you can't do the garden. Amen. Number three, you want to stay filled. Drink of the Holy Spirit every single day. Ask for and expect a daily refilling. Can you shout that out? Daily.
Daily.
Say it. Daily.
Daily,
daily refilling. In Ephesians 5, we're told, but be filled with the Spirit. That means to be completely fulfilled or completed. It means at all times be being filled. This command is not a one-time event, but a continuous ongoing process. The Greek actually means here, be being filled It's applying a continuous action to your life. When you read scriptures like John chapter 7, when Jesus talks about the Holy Ghost, we assume that once we got baptized in the Holy Ghost, we didn't have to drink anymore. Look at somebody and tell them, your drinking days aren't over. That was just the start. You were to be drinking all the days of your life. Drinking living water, can have an amen. In John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The point is, we don't stop drinking of the Spirit just because we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You should walk away after receiving that, and the next day ask for a refilling. Don't wait for a revival or a special meeting or a special prayer. Ask him to fill you every single day of your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We need to stay so filled, there's no room for anything else. How do you keep drinking? Well, he gives you a prescription for staying filled with the Spirit right in the scripture. Number one, he says, speaking to one another with psalms. When you are speaking, he's meaning confessing to one another with psalms. That is a song sung to the plucking of a stringed instrument. If you were taught that you shouldn't have instruments in church because it's not in the New Testament, you were not taught accurately. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. When you read Psalm 150, it talks about using multiple instruments to praise God with. And the only one officially banned in this church is the tambourine. Because I have never seen a white person yet know how to play a tambourine. Not one. Not one. So y'all going to get out there and increase our African-American presence or just leave the tambourines at home, bless God. But what are you doing? You're singing psalms, and it's having an effect on the level of the Holy Ghost in your life. Kelly was talking about this yesterday. A minister that we highly respect is not that big on praise and worship, but immediately my mind went to this principle that it's not just you singing yourself. That should be obvious, but it's also singing to each other. When you take a group of people and they are all singing psalms like you did this morning and you are singing them with intent, it's having an effect on you as a Spirit-filled believer. You're confessing God's word and truth through song accompanied by an instrument, and it's having a filling impact on you. Now, you may have known this experientially, but I'm trying to give you a handle to put on it. When you do this, it's going to keep you Spirit-filled.
Amen.
That's why the worship portion is not an interruption in the service. It is the service. That's why it's so critical that you get involved. Amen? Because something's happening when you do this. Supernatural. He goes, second of all, speaking to one another with hymns. A song and praise historically and theologically to a divinity. And who is our divinity? Our God. A hymn may have words and music, or it may just have words. What you're doing is you're singing in honor of him. And when you do that, it's going to cause you to experience a refilling. When I was in college and living at the Chi Alpha house, Mark Randall would get up every morning singing. It sounded like a cabin shot, but it was singing. Amen. Usually just hallelujah over and over again, or praise the Lord, but he was singing. How many of y'all find yourself doing that in the car and when you get up in the morning? What are you doing? Let me put a handle on it for you. What you're doing is actually keeping yourself filled with the Spirit by doing this. Speaking or confessing, number three, to one another with spiritual songs. It literally means songs that are spiritual or songs of the Spirit. You may remember Paul said it this way, I will sing with the understanding. I will sing in the Spirit. What is singing in the Spirit? It's singing in tongues. Pastor, I can't sing normally. Dear God, I don't want to aggravate the angels. Say, I sing in the Spirit. When you do that, you're going to keep yourself filled. Amen? You say, I can't sing. Yes, you can. Elf says, amen. I'm singing. I'm in a store and I'm singing. He tells the female actress, you just kind of, you know, move up and down, talk and move up and down. You can do that. Singing in the Spirit should be a prominent part of your spiritual life. And it isn't a special gift. Anybody can pray in tongues can sing in the Spirit, and you should. And it will keep you Spirit-filled. Look at somebody and say, get filled. And stay filled. Sing and make music from your heart unto the Lord. Number four. This means a heartfelt expression of praise and joy through music. It's not just a vocal act, but it's one that comes from the depths of your being. It is heartfelt worship and praise to Him. It's vocal, but it comes where? From the heart. Another reason why it's so important to keep your heart with all diligence. It's not silent songs, but songs that do come from the heart. Glory to God. You know, when we step back from this, we should thank God that the apostle was led by the Spirit of God to put this here. Because you don't need another person laying hands on you to be refilled. All you need to do is do what Paul is teaching in this scripture. Number five, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It may come as a shock to you, or maybe you just never put a handle on that, but thanksgiving actually keeps you Spirit-filled. Ingratitude will drain you. Negativism will drain you. I mean, you listen to some people, and it's like they have absolutely nothing to thank God for. And they're miserable, and they want you to be miserable as well. But I want to challenge you, be grateful. I said be grateful. I said be grateful. Give Him praise and give Him thanksgiving in your life daily. It will help you stay Spirit-filled. Does anybody here ever need the touch of God in their life in the middle of the week? Thank Him. Remember that old song, Count Your Many Blessings? The seminary professor was having a hard time getting across to his students how important it is to praise God and recognize the overabundant blessings in their life by Almighty God. And that's when he wrote the doxology. And most of you know what that is like. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, what? All you what? And all you creatures here below, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Why would that be so important? He made them learn that and taught them that, and it became a classic hymn because he was trying to impress upon them the importance of gratitude. Say with me, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Anybody here want to stay Spirit-filled?
Yes.
Stay thankful. On your worst day, find something to thank God for. In your worst circumstance, find something to thank God for. Amen. Then number six, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Mutual accountability serves to keep you filled with the Spirit. You want to know why? Because letting other people speak into your life can keep you away from things that will drain you spiritually. Amen. It's good to have somebody that can speak into your life. I mean, it's good to have somebody that can encourage you in your life.
Yes.
Glory to God. So say this with me. As a child of God, Spirit-filled, if I will sing songs, hymns, if I will sing in the Spirit, if I will sing and make music in my heart, if I will stay thankful, if I will be mutually submitted, I'll stay full of the Holy Ghost. It seems to me all you need to do is have the Bible, have this knowledge, and then do these things. Amen. And you never have to leak again. Amen. You don't need Pampers. You won't be leaking, glory to God. Come on, shout it out. I will never, ever leak again in Jesus' name. I want you to stand on your feet if you would. Thank you, my Father. We bless you, Lord Jesus. I need to thank God for the Holy Ghost. Come on, say that round. Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for filling me again and again, again and again. I understand there's one baptism and many fillings. I ask you every day, fill me to overflowing. I declare I will monitor the level of the Spirit of God operating in my life. I'll do so with those parameters in mind. I'll guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. I'm going to put a control on my ears, my eyes, my mouth, and my feet for the glory of God. And I'm going to take the Apostle Paul and what he wrote as truth for me today. In Jesus' name, I'll follow that prescription and I'll stay filled with the Holy Ghost all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, how many of you could use a fresh dose? I want you just to lay your hands on each other right now, just to illustrate the point here. He's more than willing that all of us stay filled. Declare these words over your neighbor, say, in Jesus' name, I declare you are filled to overflowing. You have the Holy Ghost in abundance. Every day, be filled, refilled, and refilled in Jesus' name. I declare every competing influence, every influence is defeated in your life. You are and will maintain the Spirit-filled life in Jesus' name, full of love, joy, hope, peace, victory, fruit, results, power, all the days of your life, you will bear the fruit of a Spirit-filled believer. In Jesus' name, I bless you. 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 In Jesus' name. Now come on, give him a hand clap today.